Let's make a start. We're going to start by singing together. And friends, as we look back on the past year, the story of the past year is not that we have been excellent. The story of the past year has been that he has been faithful. And let's stand and let's sing of his great faithfulness to us. And words should appear behind me on the screen. Amen. Do sit down. And if you've got Bibles in front of you, do have a turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Page 705. You should see scattered on the tables kind of various diagrams, which I'll come to in a moment, and a version of it's going to appear on the screen behind me. Have you got that picture, Jack? Yes, it's next on the PowerPoint. Who is the PowerPoint button presser? Yeah, Ellie, have you got the... Brilliant, look at that. Our aim, as we have often said, as a church, is to grow a church that grows more churches to the glory of God. In other words, our aim has never been just to fill a hall. Our aim has always been to reach the city. That is not a particularly novel aim. It is what all churches should be about. Look at Matthew 28, verse, 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." If you're going to make disciples, what do you need? You need a church. Not a building, but you need a community of God's people who are teaching one another to obey all that Jesus has commanded. Otherwise, church is the disciple-making community. So it's not there is church and there is mission. The way the Lord reaches out to the world and makes disciples of all people is to grow churches. Remember, we talked about Starbucks several months ago. How did this country become a nation of coffee drinkers suddenly? Well, in every neighborhood, Starbucks planted a cafe. And so it just became normal. People who never would even known what a skinny latte was, just never seen without a skinny latte. And so our question is, how do we make the people of Bristol disciples of Jesus Christ? And the answer is, we want to put disciple-making communities into every neighborhood. And so our longing is to grow a church that grows and then spills over into growing another church, which grows and then spills over into growing another church. So there are more and more disciple-making communities in this city. And we think the diagram on the screen there, or you'll see on the bits of paper, expresses how churches grow a little bit. So at the heart of it is we want to be people who take in and live out the good news of Christ. And as we do that, we will grow in commitment. You see there, bottom right, we'll grow in commitment to the Lord. Commitment to the Lord will actually express itself in our commitment to community. And as we grow in community, we will grow in maturity. That's how you grow in maturity in the Christian life. You rub up against other Christians. You learn to forgive and bear burdens, and you get encouraged by one another, all those things. And the mark of maturity is a growing passion for mission. See, the more you want to see the Lord honored in your life, actually, the more you want to see him honored full stop. And so you want your friends and your neighbors and colleagues to honor him as well. And so the cycle goes on. And at the bottom there, two ideas that we sort of want to hold on to help us to grow. We want to, first of all, learn less, but learn it more thoroughly. Remember, Jesus said, not just go and teach everyone everything I've commanded you, but teach to obey everything I have commanded you. And one of our reflections has been there are lots of churches where there's lots of teaching going on, but is there obedience? Are people actually becoming disciples who are learning to obey Christ? So one of the reasons we do small groups on a Sunday is to revisit the sermon and not just do a fresh load of teaching, but say, hold on, how are we going to obey this together? And one of the reasons churches sometimes sort of run out of mission steam is they spend the week tied up in lots of meetings, so people don't really have connections with the community around them. So the other thing we want to try and keep working on is having a Sunday that's quite full of meetings, but a week that's free for mission. So a day like this is about sort of saying, how are we doing? There's the kind of vision, but does reality line up with that, or are we deluded? Today is a kind of reality check. And it's clear to anyone that there is a long way for us to go. We're just at the beginning of things. We are far from perfect. We are far from having it all sorted. There are things we'll need to do differently. Things we'll need to change. That's always the way. As we grow, we'll need to change. We're a different animal now from the animal we were a year ago, 2 years ago. But there are things we want to thank the Lord for, aren't there? We're not perfect, but there are things we want to thank him for. And I think that the thing I particularly want to testify to, and a particular feature of the past year, has been something that's been really exciting for me to learn in my own Christian life, which is how the Lord answers prayer. Such a reminder, when you see him answer prayer, that church is not something we are doing. He builds his church. And so he provides what his church needs to grow. He's the Lord who answers our prayers. And I for a while, had that experience of things happening, and then thinking, oh, that's interesting. Didn't we pray for that? Yeah, we did. We prayed for that. And just that sort of remembrance that, oh, things were happening and we prayed for them, got me into the habit over this last year of writing down prayers much more, noticing what we were praying in the prayer meetings, writing those down, writing down my own prayers much more, and therefore looking for the answers, saying, we prayed this, right, how's the Lord going to answer? And it's been such an adventure, because things happen, and you go, hold on, we prayed this, and you think, wow. And it means you're praying with such expectancy. So let me just sort of gather up some of the things that it seems to me we've prayed for and ways in which the Lord has provided. And then we'll sort of throw things out into groups. This time last year, we were praying for the Lord to provide just the right assistant pastor. And I think we'd all say Ed has been God's wonderful gift to us. Just the right gifts, just the gifts we needed to move on in our life together as a church. And one of the things we prayed was that whoever it is, the assistant pastor, wouldn't take ministry from people. And I think we've seen that in the way Ed has set about equipping people to do ministry rather than taking ministry from people. So people have grown. And the church has grown because the Lord provided Ed. So we give great thanks for that. This time last year, we were still praying for that. This time last year, do you remember we were praying for a new venue? We quite short notice, we had to kind of move, which was a good thing. Just when we were getting a little bit stuck in a groove, thinking, well, the hall's full, the Lord sort of shook us up and said, you've got to go. And do you remember we got in touch with Red Maids and they said, no, we don't do Sunday lettings, that's absolutely impossible. And I said, well, I'd really like to speak to the bursar. And they said, no, we don't do Sunday lettings. That's just not what we do. And then about 2 weeks later, got to speak to the bursar. New bursar does do Sunday lettings. Brilliant. So wonderful provision, because this site's even better than the last site, isn't it? In so many ways, it's enabled us to grow. Thing that really struck me was the carol service. I bizarrely was worrying about the carol service light matters. I was worrying about the ambiance, because this lighting is, you know, it is functional, but it's not particularly kind of carol service-y. And we'd spoken to Red Maids and we said, could we use the spotlights and everything? And they said, well, we haven't got a way of training you before the carol service, so it may not happen. And remember, we arrived for the first carol service thinking, how are we going to get the lighting right? And we sort of got some IKEA up lighters and some tea lights and a couple of torches and things like that. And amazingly, the place was double booked. There was a theatre rehearsal in it. So we thought, oh no, never going to get the lighting right. But what happened was the people doing the theatre rehearsal said, oh, we know how to use the lights, we'll set it up for you. So it was just a wonderful provision. And that, again, was just another reminder, the Lord's in this. We've been praying for youth leaders. Remember, in various prayer meetings, we're praying for the Lord to provide people to take on the youth work. Great to see them with us there, and great the way the Lord provided Howard and Kate Evans to head that up, along with the rest of the team. After Christmas, do you remember we prayed for Christianity Explored? We were just a few days away from cancelling it because we didn't really have anyone signed up for it at all. We prayed in a prayer meeting, and then in our very first Christianity Explored evening at the Frank and Joe Head's house, I think there were 22 people squashed into their room. It was just a wonderful answer to prayer. It was really exciting. We prayed this time last year that we would move from talking about the community action projects that we'd been talking about to actually getting underway. And I think that has begun to happen. People are getting involved in Bristol Nights, the besom, you know, the decorating thing. And remember, a couple of prayer meetings ago, Rebecca Gray told us a little bit about her experiences helping with the Somali family. So it's just lovely to see the way the Lord's provided, and that's got underway. Another great provision was, as you know, one of the things we're doing at the moment is working towards becoming a church in our own right, a legal entity within the Church of England, but with our own sort of legal existence, as opposed to just a wing of Christ Church. And for that to happen, we needed to get the backing of the local synod, which is the kind of meeting of all the local Church of England churches. We had some kind of preliminary meetings that were quite sticky. People were a little bit wary of us. And then in the actual meeting, the synod, new chairman got put in. It was his first ever meeting, and he was the guy who 3 years ago had spoken up for us at Westbury-on-Trim. It was his first meeting, and he introduced us by saying something like, well, now we move on to one of the most exciting things happening in the diocese. I'm sure we all want to back what Mike and his team are doing, and over to Mike. You know, it was just impossible for anyone to speak against us because the Lord provided the same guy who 3 years before had spoken up for us in the Westbury-on-Trim PCC was provided to speak up for us at the synod. It was, I mean, Nicholas and I were there. We just felt we were watching a miracle. No, nobody said anything. They just went, oh, okay. We prayed for finances back in January, do you remember? One of the things we said is the more money we have, the more we can do. And one of the things we'd love to do is set up apprenticeships. Apprenticeships is the idea of taking people from the congregation out from their sort of normal work for a couple of years or so and train them in different aspects of Christian ministry, give them an opportunity to be involved in different areas of the church's life. And for some, that might lead on to doing that sort of ministry more full-time in the future. For others, it might lead to just saying, well, I'm now better equipped to serve in a local church for the rest of my life. Part of that training involves a part-time Bible course in London, for which we needed money to pay the fees and the train fare for people to do that and so on. And wonderfully, people gave just the right amount of money for us to be able to launch our first apprenticeship. And the Lord provided just the right person. We announced that last week. Sim Jemich was for a while, you know, wondering what to do, what the next chapter of his life would be. And we were kind of hoping he would think along the lines of getting involved in apprenticeship and hoping the money would be provided. And just wonderfully it came together. Similar thing, as we moved from being a group within Christchurch to becoming our own legal entity, there's quite a lot of sort of transitional work that we have to do. There's a lot of sort of regulatory and governance things that we have to take on for ourselves, like CRB and insurance and health and safety and all those sorts of things. And for a while, we were thinking, well, you know, Jonathan Rees has got quite a lot of gifts in that area. He'd be very good at sort of managing this whole process. But, you know, he's busy, he's too busy. And then Jonathan said to me one day, he said, I've taken voluntary redundancy. I went, ooh. So I paused for a while, and a polite gap of a couple of weeks. And then I said, Jonathan, you know this voluntary redundancy you're taking? What are you thinking of doing? You know, and again, wonderfully, the Lord provided just the right person with just the right gifts at just the right time. That is very exciting. And it's not just these kinds of things. I am by no means a great prayer, but I've been trying to pray for people more and more and more. And writing down what I'm praying for them. So I had the opportunity to talk to someone recently about the reality of sin. And I look back in my little prayer folder and thought, huh, isn't that funny? I prayed for them that they would be convicted of sin. Or I've been praying for someone that they would be restored to the joy of their salvation. And I think we're seeing that in this person. I prayed for someone that they wouldn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And then I heard a story of how she had stood up to peer pressure. I was praying for a marriage that I thought, frankly, humanly speaking, looked over. And wonderfully, the news is they're back together again. I'm praying for one particular person to become an evangelist at work. And I met someone 3 weeks ago who was a visitor. I said, hello, how did you come here? And, yeah, this guy I've been praying for had brought them along. You know, I'm not a great prayer, but this year, I think I've been reminded again, we have a Lord who answers prayer. And it's incredibly exciting to pray with expectancy. Right, we prayed this. How's he going to answer? How's he going to answer? And looking back, it just made me see, if we have moved forward in this last year, if we have grown, it's not because we are excellent. It's because the Lord has provided in extraordinary ways. And it's filled me with awe. I mean, think on it. The God of the universe is our Father in heaven, and he has an ear to our prayers. And he has an eye on our needs, and he's provided for us so perfectly. You know, lights for the carol service. Fills me with awe, but it fills me with expectancy. He builds his church. Look at the past year, and all the evidence is he is building his church. So look what he's done last year, and you think, can't wait. Can't wait to see what he'll do next year and the year after that. He is in this. What does Jesus say right at the end of Matthew 28? And I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I think that we've got to have a taste of that in this last year. And I think in the non-American sense of the word, it is awesome to witness it. I'm going to stop there. Let's get into groups. And again, some questions are going to come up on the PowerPoint. And we're just asking that simple question. What are you giving thanks for? In what ways has the Lord grown you or your small group or Emmanuel as a whole? And you might sit there thinking, well, actually, all this giving thanks, I can think of plenty of things that are not going very well. And yes, you're right. There are plenty of things that are not going well that we've not got taped. So what we want to do, though, is we do want to acknowledge the things that it's right to thank him for. And we want to notice the areas of weakness, the blind spots. So what would be really helpful is to try and place the things we're giving thanks for around the diagram. So, you know, if someone's saying, I give thanks that I became a Christian this year, Well, put that by the commitment area of the diagram. Just scribble it in, either with a pen directly or use the post-it notes to slap it on. Or, you know, I learned to forgive this year. Well, put that in, where do you want to put it? Maturity? And then at the end, you see, we'll take these sheets in, we'll stick them up for today, and we'll take them in, and we'll reflect on these things. And we'll notice, you know, if we've got loads of giving thanks for, say, community-type things, but nothing on mission, then we'll realize that we've got lots to give thanks for on community, but we've got work to be done on mission. It's not watertight, is it? Where exactly everything goes is not watertight, but just a way of thinking about where are we growing? What are the ways in which we're growing? What are the blind spots? So that makes sense. So in small groups, just spend a bit of time gathering up those things, rejoicing in what the Lord has done, and be ready at the end. I'm going to run around with a microphone, just some headlines and highlights that you want to share with the rest of us. Okay? Let's pause there then. And it'd just be lovely to sort of wander around the tables, and either you've got a spokesperson who could give some headlines. Now then. Either you've got a spokesperson who gives some headlines, or you might be that several people in your group just want to say, no, I want to thank him for this, I want to thank him for that. But I just want to gather up some of those things. So encourage one another, because we've been listening to what our group have been saying. We're itching to hear what you've been saying in your group. So encourage one another. What have you got that you particularly wanted to say here?
The majority of our group is actually new to Emmanuel since the last church day. So we're really thankful. We're putting it under the community heading, but you can move it if you like. We're just really thankful for God's guidance in bringing us to a place where we can testify that we've really been helped and challenged in our faith. It's just really thankful in his kind of guidance in bringing us here together as a group and as individuals. Other things we've said, we're thankful for challenging teaching, which is not always what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. So we're really thankful for that. Any other headlines? Oh, yeah, definitely. Under mission, we said we're really thankful for just how accessible we feel that Sundays are for outsiders. That's not very well put. We feel that really easily that we can bring our unbelieving friends along. We're very thankful for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, we must keep working away at that. What are some of the things the youth group said? Who's your spokesperson, Emma? Tell us some of the things you're giving thanks for.
On behalf of Jossie, she's done a Christian Union at Red and Green, and that's like branching out, and yeah, that's really good.
A lot of them liked the socials. Andrew particularly liked the Wii tournament that they did at Kenny's house. And Lily wants to give thanks for more babies in church in general to play with.
Great, thank you. Very exciting news about Joss. Where is Jossie? No, oh, she's right. But let's pray for her CU that she's started. What about this group here? What are some of the things that who's in charge? Some of the things you're giving thanks for.
So in our large group, there are so many things. On the general level, we're all thankful about certain things that are going on here, like doing church differently, like the encouragement, the warmth of welcome. There's quite some of us are quite new. The warmth of welcome was a general one, I think. Things like we feel more comfortable to invite others along to this kind of situation. So there were general things, and then there were very specific things, the good student adoption scheme seemed to be working well. Prayer life better, being real here and in work. What else do we want to say? There's stuff written all over this page. We got really excited. thankfulness for prayer triplets and how they're working in certain ways. Real specific answers to prayer. I could get specific. Do you want any specifics?
Yeah, go on, give us one specific.
Okay,
one concrete.
I'll give you mine. So I've had a real problem with emails, you know, been totally overwhelmed. And my two prayer partners took this on board, and unbeknown to me, they went away and wrote me a page on how to handle emails, and they posted it to me rather than sending it by email. That was good. But then, in the work I work, PAs are unheard of, and one of their suggestions was you need a PA to triage your email. I thought, yeah, fat chance of that. The following week, one of the administrators, when I mentioned it to her, said, oh, we could do that for you. Remarkable.
Miracle.
Miracle, really.
Thank you. It's been lovely to hear the growth of prayer triplets, people getting alongside one another to live out the Christian life together. It's brilliant. What about group over here? Who's in charge?
Okay, we've got quite a few thoughts that we've pulled together from the group. I'll just go through a few of them. We're thankful for getting to know each other better in the group and praying more for each other, being able to support each other. With the arrival of two babies in the group recently, we've been able to provide for each other, help in practical ways. And also on community, we thought it was good we've managed to forge a link with a student group to our left. And we hope to do more on that. We found in praying, we've been able to pray in more about applying God's word in the group, and then having some accountability in the group. People have said it's made a difference in actually then doing things like mentioning the fact you go to church to your neighbours, and also praying in other practical things that in our lives, sort of bringing them more to God in prayer. In terms of church, feeling relaxed, we can bring our friends to church, not ashamed about our faith and bringing people to church, and starting with City Centre, trying to get something off the ground there. So that's a sort of random, some of the things we've put down.
But good, thank you very much. Anything from this group? Who's your spokesman? What's a headline from this group?
We were very thankful having new freshers joining our group and joining early, committing early on in the term, and now we feel like a proper family, and we feel able to be accountable to each other and praying with each other has been great, especially the girls, who said that, very close. We've had good joint socials with the adults over there. And we were especially challenged, painfully so, in some cases, by the Christ esteem elements of some of the teaching we've had recently, and by the friendship and companion stuff that we were talking about with Ed. I think that really challenged us.
Yeah. Thank you very much. What about a headline from this group?
We've been really encouraged by the growth in our small group, which is becoming not so small anymore. And that includes people coming to new faith, which is wonderful. We're encouraged by the hospitality within the group, particularly the Rices hosting us each Sunday night, but also hospitality within the group for one another, and the open house, which people new to Emmanuel have found really helpful in terms of getting to know one another. We were really challenged by what we learnt, particularly about church being a doctor's waiting room and us being potentially a little bit judgmental of people outside the church. And that was hard to learn, but good to learn. And also we've been encouraged by God's sovereignty recently in the Daniel series. And then finally, I think the big thing was, same as many others, that it's easy to bring friends along. People feel really able to bring friends and know that they'll be welcomed.
Thank you very much. What about this group? Who's in charge here?
Okay, so we'll try and give one headline from each of the sections. Under maturity, many people were thankful for the one-to-ones that we're now having, especially many of the guys tackling sin seriously. As well as being able to socialise and grow with older Christians, we found really valuable. It was quite a young small group. Under mission, people really benefited from the John Dixon evangelism evening. Felt that was really helpful to bring friends along to. And just that, the application from each small group, we could apply week by week in our lives to reach out to others. Under commitment, we're really thankful to God, and in particular Emmanuel and Lucy, for bringing new Christians into the church and into the community and being able to welcome them in. And that was so valuable. And again, under... Community. Under community, again, just a hospitality we feel week by week. And as a small group, how we're growing in honesty and accountability has been really valuable.
Thank you. We've got to be careful with all these thanks that we don't get pleased with ourselves, but we do want to testify to what he is doing, and it's just quite extraordinary. What about this group? Quick headline from this group.
Yeah, again, I'll take one from each of these sections. So starting with commitment, we had thanks for the regular commitment of people to the small group and also the fact that our small group is growing, which is great. In the community section, we had quite a lot around here, but one of the things was to thank people that do the setup and the put away here every week. So thank you very much for all of that, and including the student strike force, the catering team, all the people putting up the tables and chairs, just all of those things. And also thanks for Danny, our caretaker here at Redmeads. And then in the maturity section, thanks for prayer triplets that have been established and also one-to-one Bible studies that have allowed others to train and do one-to-one Bible studies with others as well. Then moving around on the last section for mission, this was focused on people at work, really, and a couple of things. Thanking God for some of the city centre outreach stuff that's starting and the vision that has. And also we heard of a particular example where, unbeknown to him, things had been happening outside work that then came to light in a meal that he sort of set up with his colleagues at work and some other people from Emmanuel. And just giving thanks and the way God, we use the example, sort of moves the pieces on a board and he sees the whole game that's going to happen. We only maybe see a small section, a few of the pieces, but thanks that God is in control of all of that and encouraging us to take steps to bring people together in that way. And also we really like the pencils on the board. I think they're great. We've really arrived as a church. Now we have pencils with Jesus quotes on, so fantastic.
Yes, that's certainly one of the great marks of spiritual health, isn't it? Proper Bible verse pencils. Who's this group? Who's our spokesman?
I'll just try and find some things that haven't already been said, because an awful lot of our things, as we're last to speak, have been said. But we've got several new people in our group, and I know this has been said, but they did feel extremely well welcomed at Emmanuel and wanted and part of the community very quickly. And several of them have said too how they feel excited about coming to Emmanuel and the teaching and the praise that they can take part in here. Just on a couple of individual things that people had felt had happened to them, one person in the group felt that they'd learned to forgive now, somebody that he was struggling to forgive. And other people had felt that individually they felt more that their life was in God's hands rather than their own now. So they felt they'd matured in that way. The other thing that came out, I think, that maybe no one's mentioned is that meeting others in the church family and serving others in the church family had made them feel very part of the church and also helped them grow in relationships and friendships within the church by serving. Anything else, anybody in the group that I've left out? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so sorry. Yeah. It's a great thrill to hear people talking about prayer triplets growing and people taking other people under their wing, one-to-one. In other words, building up relationships and people talking about their friends who aren't yet Christians and drawing those people in. It's great that we've been talking about not stuff and things, but about relationships with one another and with the Lord. It's really exciting to hear. Who's in charge here? Negotiations between Will and Jim, and the winner is... Birthday boy, Will. Okay, Will.
I think for a few of us, it's been the case that we felt like we're more part of the church family, just getting involved in different aspects of the church. I think that's...
Okay. Talking about how we've been really challenged by some of the sermons, but then in the small group, really given the opportunity to discuss how they can affect us practically and how practically we can go out and do the things we've learned. Some particular themes, the ones on depression and singleness, and also submitting to authorities has come up quite a lot since throughout the weeks. And then just the opportunities that some of us have got involved, toddler group and the Eastern Jubilee Trust. Just being really blessed by how this student group, and we've been really blessed by some really good getaways and the time we have together.
Thank you so much. And it's just so exciting to hear. Remember what Jesus said, teach them to obey. Not just teach them, not just give them information, but teach them to obey. Sorry about this sort of hobbling along. Teach them to obey. And it's just so exciting to see and to hear stories of people not just learning information which they are now filing, but learning to put into practice the ways of God. That is a thrill to hear. I think I want to express those thanks in a song, and words are going to come up on the screen. Stand to sing. Father, we thank you that whenever we stop and consider your goodness to us, there is so much to thank you for. We praise you. for the different ways in which you have blessed us as a church, blessed us as individuals. And we pray that we would never grow tired of praising you and thanking you. Pray that you would make us a people who are marked by a profound sense of gratitude to you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do sit down. We'll have a chance in the prayer meeting to have some unhurried time of thanks and praise later on. But I think what we're going to do now is just take a chance to stretch our legs, have a bit of a walk around. We'll reconvene at five past 12, but in muddled up groups. We don't need to sit in small groups anymore for the second session. What would be really helpful, though, is during the stretch the legs time, is to put all your pieces of paper on the stage. And I might masking tape them up so that people can look at them over the break and over lunch a little bit later on. So I reckon we've got about 7 minutes to run around.